Money Show.
Personal Finance with Warren Ingram.
Personal Finance brought to you by Satrix. Investing global funds. Invest with Satrix. Warren Ingram is our Thursday night personal finance contributor. He is an executive director at Galileo Capital. He is a personal financial advisor, and he is going to help us understand this phenomenon of political risk. And we kind of associate political risk with South Africa. I remember Tony Trahar, Anglo-American chief executive, getting into all kinds of trouble with Thabo Mbeki and his administration many years ago when he wrote in an Anglo-American annual report that he was worried about political risk in South Africa. So it turns out, I think he was pretty much spot on, but Thabo Mbeki didn't like it one little bit. And now we look at Americans and we look at them sort of expressing their fear about political risk, and gun sales are going through the roof in a most astonishing sort of arms race ahead of what should be an incredibly peaceful election and possible transition from Republicans to Democrats, as happens from time to time. What is this notion of political risk, Warren Ingram?
I think what happens is investors start to anticipate that it's not peaceful, and that actually, you know, the potential for violence is real. And you know, I think if you look at America, just to stay on that example, Trump is making more and more noise about the fact that these the early votes, the post-in votes, that there's potential for fraud. The fact that every state and even at a national level, they're all comfortable that they've actually got all the protections in place required to prevent something like that happening doesn't change the narrative from Trump. And his social media account just keeps pumping out that there's a potential for the election to be stolen. And so what he is doing, whether it's on purpose or not, is he's laying the foundation for his followers to believe that if he loses, and that's really what the betting markets and the polling markets are saying, is that that he's likely to lose, so that if he does lose, he can then turn around to his followers to say, well, this election was stolen, it wasn't a legitimate vote. And so that's the one side of this. The other side of it is what they call a contested election, where he starts to go almost state by state to say, the voting wasn't fair here. We need to go to court. And it's very much what happened with Al Gore. The argument there was that if Al Gore had actually gone to court, there was a chance that Al Gore would have been the president. And he was eventually convinced, for national interest, not to do that. And so, someone like Trump, the speculation from the investment markets is he's not going to do that. There's no national interest in his mind. There is only the Trump interest, and whatever suits Trump is good for the world, according to him. And in which case, if we get a contested election, you might find there is no president for quite some time, because those court cases have to happen potentially in all the states where the election is close. And that's certainly not going to happen very quickly. Markets would hate that more than anything.
Yeah, I get markets hate it, but markets are also, quite resilient. I mean, certainly US markets, I can't imagine they would respond terribly badly. I mean, yes, a pullback, a bit of uncertainty, yes, but businesses wouldn't stop doing business. The wheels of the mighty US economy would keep on turning. I really look at this issue of political risk when it comes to the United States with a fair amount of circumspection.
Well, I think the issues multiply when you add the pandemic into the mix. One of the things everyone was hoping for is some kind of a stimulus package to be voted on in the States, and that hasn't happened. The Democrats and the Republicans can't agree. Surprise, surprise. And so I think everyone's waiting. Without saying it, they're waiting for the election to be over so that they can then push their own stimulus package and become the heroes of the moment, which is really calculating and to the detriment of the whole country. And so this whole process, if it gets stalled further, because there is now a contested election, then, you know, a country which, yes, you're right, you know, up until COVID, American economy was booming, it could bring it to its knees. And the longer things are drawn out and the longer the process is stalled, the bigger the chance that, that the economy doesn't recover. I'm not saying ever, but it doesn't recover back to pre-COVID levels or even close to pre-COVID levels.
No, it's Warren Ingram's personal finance wisdom and insights, and I dare not interrupt.
So I think the one thing that we mustn't forget is, you know, the U.S. market has been on quite a run for quite some time. And so, you know, fear levels were elevated already before COVID. You know, okay. And so now you add COVID, then you add a contested election, and all of a sudden we could be in a space where the market goes into a fair degree of free fall. And you know, that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. The more people become more fearful, the confidence breaks, and so the market really takes a hiding. And you know, if we think that the Federal Reserve in America has already deployed many of the weapons it's got in its arsenal, we don't know how many more it's got, and it might not be able to put a floor in this. So the potential for disaster is there. I'm not saying
I get you. And especially against a backdrop of the rest of the world not really playing ball. I think China's doing okay. If we believe their numbers, they seem to be through the COVID crisis very, very nicely. They don't have the infection rates. The economy is recovering, and that's all well and good. It's not so good in Europe, and we are seeing more closures of bars and restaurants and clubs and pubs and that sort of stuff happening in Europe, across Europe. The United Kingdom, of course, has also got a recurrence of COVID cases, and so we're seeing that play out in that economy as well. And when you've got dysfunctional economies across the globe, then they start feeding off each other. That dysfunction begins to take hold, particularly in an environment where suddenly you throw Brexit into the European UK discussion.
And it's amazing that, you know, that's almost got lost in the mix now. You know, we kind of see it every now and then in the news, and, you know, it's almost just, you know, how silly Boris Johnson is, and then it, you know, the news, the rest of the world's news, just swamps Brexit again. Whereas, you know, a year ago that was one of the main talking points of the world's economy, and so it's just fascinating how quickly the world can turn.
And in South Africa, of course, we live on the perpetual edge of uncertainty. It's always chaos. It's always scary. There's always some scary story in the wings that is going to bring an end to the South African miracle. It's yet to transpire, of course, in the way that the fearmongers will have you believe. But there is always a fear aspect. I mean, there is always concern. I mean, the latest one is after the medium-term budget policy statement yesterday, it's all going to be about prescribed assets. I mean, all of these factors, of course, are critical, but it does add to our own sense of political insecurity.
And so I think, you know, then to me, the crux of this is, what do we do about this if we're, you know, if we're ordinary investors trying to build, you know, build our long-term wealth and financial, and get to the point of financial freedom? And my argument there will be, number one, you can't really anticipate the outcome of these kinds of events. You know, I mean, you know, I can't think of how many tweets and articles I saw, you know, people saying that, you know, in this budget now, you know, our finance minister would be launching a wealth tax, and you know, there will be, trusts will be, you know, collapsed or something. And the reality is, it might happen, but it certainly wasn't in this budget. And that's interesting to me, that people were so certain that is what would happen. And so I think you need to understand that it's very difficult to even predict the outcome of an election or an event like this. And then secondly, if you want to make investment money out of this, you need to understand how investors are going to react to whatever that outcome is. That's two sets of big decisions that you need to get right. And then you need to make the third, which is, how do you invest your money to profit from all of those? The answer is, you can't. It's not a possible thing to do on a consistent basis. And so then just go back to first principles and kind of shut out the noise of what's going on. If you've got these major events, which are basically a yes or a no, you know, a left or a right, a blue or a red, then avoid creating portfolios of investments that are so subject to making money if one of those outcomes works, because that's basically a coin toss. You know, and if you're predicting your financial future on a coin toss, you've got problems. And so the reality is, diversify your portfolio as much as you can. You know, have local investments, have overseas investments, have money in shares, have money in you know, property companies, and you know, have some cash. You know, potentially have some gold, and spread your assets as far and as wide as you possibly can. If you've got a lump sum, please don't invest it all right now, because we don't know what markets will do. And if you know, rather phase your money in over time, and spread out. You know, that's also a form of diversification. It's a spreading out over time, and then maybe just shut your eyes for a little while and let these events unfold, and then review. But don't, you know, put all your money into the markets because you're convinced, you know, Biden's going to win and that's brilliant for the world, or Trump's going to win and that's brilliant for the world, or sit in cash and do nothing and then Biden does win and that was the thing that was good for the world. I think, you know, these all or nothing decisions in these kinds of times is the most dangerous thing that investors can do.
Warren Ingram is a director at Galileo Capital. He's a personal financial advisor. In a moment, we have a question from Jake. And if you would like your questions answered by Warren, get them to us. You can reach us via the Money Show page. Should I cash in my retirement fund? I read comments in the media and from some commentators that I should not invest in a retirement fund because of the risks of a South Africa implosion and prescribed assets. What should I do? Regards, Jake. Jake? Pause. Clench. We'll get to you in a moment.
The Money Show. Personal finance with Warren Ingram.
So understandably, Jake is worried about the future. Warren was talking about all these forecasts of doom and gloom coming through the medium-term budget policy statement. And there's an awful lot of doom and gloom in the medium-term budget policy statement. But as Hans Rosling, the great data analyst, said, is that, you know, as humans, we do have a disproportionate view, negative view of the future. We really do. And so we need to think about the future differently. And so how do we help Jake out here, Warren? Because Jake is saying, should I cash in my retirement fund? I read comments in the media from some commentators that I should not invest in a retirement fund because of the risks of a South Africa implosion and prescribed assets, which for many people is one and the same thing.
I think it's important to distinguish the two, because, you know, the South African implosion, you know, it's a real economic fear, and you know, there's a good element of rationality to a fear like that. You know, I mean, our finance minister's telling us that we're you know, we've got to be really careful now, and so, you know, that the people are right to be worried about that and right to be afraid. The prescribed assets one, to me, is something that I don't really understand. I mean, I would have thought by now that it's put to bed. But just very quickly, you know, what's that about? That's about, you know, the government saying we are now forced with our retirement annuity or provident fund or pension fund to take a portion of that and invest it into SAA, Eskom, you know, Transnet and the like, and we'll get back whatever those state-owned enterprises decide to pay back if they feel like it. And you know, that's an apartheid era you know, dinosaur, and it should stay there. And one hopes that, you know, that the people within the ANC that have been quoted saying we've investigated this and we think it doesn't have legs, one hopes that they weren't lying to us. One hopes that that is the end of it. And it would have been lovely if our beloved finance minister had said, you know, in the budget speech, look, you know, we need to raise taxes, but prescribed assets is off the table. And unfortunately, he didn't. And that's, you know, extremely annoying. But if you're in this position with your retirement annuity or your retirement fund, and you're saying, you know, I'm going to cash it in, or I'm not going to invest anymore, I get it. I understand the fear. And by no means am I saying, you know, just close your eyes and max out your retirement fund contributions. There are real reasons to be concerned. But at the same time, it's time and time again, we've had this, as you were saying earlier, you know, we've had this forecast that it's the end of our country. And, you know, it's amazing, you know, decades later, the country's still here and it hasn't ended and businesses are still growing. And so my argument is, you know, if let's just say your company contributes, you know, 15% of your salary to your retirement fund, and you have the choice of investing a portion, potentially, you know, reduce the portion, you know, potentially go to 7.5%. You know, when I don't know what to do, I tend to spread my bets. You know, I tend to say, well, I'll put some money into local investments and some money overseas. And so I think that that would be the answer to Jake in the situation. Certainly what you shouldn't do is cash them out now. I don't think that's a good idea at all. And potentially, you know, reduce your contribution if you feel strongly that, you know, things are going badly and you can increase your overseas allocation. But this all or nothing view, I just don't think it'll materialize. I really hope that I'm right about prescribed assets being off the table. I'm not a betting man, but I believe that's not on the table anymore. And so certainly that should be something that our government should just put to bed now, you know, loudly, and just say, let's move on. You know, I think it's a bit like, you know, earlier in the week, you know, the president has to stand up and say, we're not going into lockdown. I don't know where that comes from. And I just wish that, you know, someone would do the same in power now to just put this prescribed assets thing to bed.
Yeah, I mean, it has, I suppose, been put to bed, and as much as it can be put to bed. But the ANC sort of says, we're not considering that for now. And that sort of caveat of keeping it in the back pocket does nothing for trust. And trust, I'm afraid, is what is so desperately, desperately needed right now. And we just don't have it.
I think it's a really valid point. Again, you know, it's not an irrational view. You know, people would very correctly be saying, you know, show us in your actions. You know, you keep talking about cutting the wage bill, and every time you cut the wage bill or you mention it, you know, we wait and we don't see anything. The state wage bill, I should say, and you know, when we heard about it a couple of months ago, it was a bigger number that was going to be cut. It seems to be slightly less now. And again, you know, where is the action? We need to see the action.
So what does Jake do? What does Jake do? Solutions.
My view is solutions. Don't cash out your retirement fund. That would be a really bad idea. If you're concerned, reduce your contributions by all means. Just know that you're losing quite a big tax benefit, and one day, you know, these retirement fund investments will grow again. So there's a real cost to that decision. But if you are concerned, reduce your contributions, increase your international contributions. The rand looks pretty favorable now. You know, I've been saying anything below 17 rand to the dollar is good, and then, you know, build up your overseas allocation as a balance. So to me, the answer is, again, diversify. You know, don't be all or nothing. Don't send out all of your money now, because, you know, if there's a solution to the COVID issue, you know, the government actually delivers in South Africa on its promises. You know, these oil fines that they seem to be finding off our shores, you know, actually deliver, you know, the 1 trillion rand that they're talking about in benefits. You know, things can turn again, and you know, it's our country has a history of doing that. So I just think don't believe the commentators that are telling you it's a one-way bet and it's only ever going to go down. This could be the end of a cycle. You know, that's been very unfavorable for all emerging markets, South Africa included. And when that cycle turns in favor of all emerging markets again, South Africa will benefit from that. And so, you know, if that happens in our favor and China becomes a big commodity buyer again, not a ridiculous thing to predict, then watch the space. And I think, you know, I just think people that have looked at the last 5 or 7 years of terrible returns from their retirement funds have been caught in a trap of what's happened in the last few years must be what will happen forever. And I think that's really dangerous thinking. It's just not the way to go.
Excellent. And in a moment, your word of the week, your term of the week, your phrase of the week, your thing of the week. What is an ETF? In a moment.
The Money Show.
Personal finance with Warren Ingram.
What is an ETF? I can tell you, it's an exchange-traded fund. What's that, Warren?
An exchange-traded fund is an investment that buys a whole range of other investments and consolidates them into one. So very simply, you know, the first example in South Africa was an exchange-traded fund that bought the 40 biggest shares on the JSE. And what it would do is it would buy each of those 40 shares in the size that they were in the stock market. So if Naspers was the biggest share in the JSE and it represented 20% of the value of the top 40 index, then this is what the exchange traded fund would buy. And so on, it would go down, you know, down the list of the, you know, from number one down to number 40. And it would own them all in one investment. And then you as an investor could go in and just buy that top 40 exchange traded fund for yourself, and that would save you, you know, buying 39 more different investments to create that one top 40 index. So it's a way for investors to to efficiently buy an index or a combination of indices, because obviously product providers now make these things more and more complicated. But it's a way of being able to consolidate them. And for smaller investors, you know, they can take, let's say, 300 Rand or 500 Rand and get exposure to all 40 shares without having to split their money up into 2, 3, or 4 Rand lots. And so that's the basis of an exchange-traded fund. Importantly, it's something that actually physically owns the other shares. So it's not a derivative or some complicated structure where you actually don't own those underlying shares. An exchange-traded fund means that it actually does own those physical assets, and that's very important for a lot of investors to know that it's not a bank that's given you a product that says we'll replicate the performance of the top 40 index. It's saying we will go and buy those shares. And we'll collect them. And when you put your money in, you will actually own your portions of those underlying shares. So there's no chance that, if you buy it from one and that product provider goes bang, that you lose your money. You are always guaranteed to at least have the value of that index as your investment. No one can take it away from you.
There, I must interrupt. Warren Ingram from Galileo Capital, personal financial advisor and our personal finance guy on a Thursday. Asked and answered. Tick. Thanks, Warren.